episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Creative Lisa and Anonymous. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Told. This is Rick on the Tuesday, the 26th of November, 2024. Coming to do a Be Told, because I think it's about 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks I shall do one, minimum. I've already done a whole lot of stuff on thefakeologist.com and Rick and Rollo and a Dave Bongversation. So I feel that I'm overly talking. But there were people out there that used to do shows, Alex Jones, et cetera. I'm not that I would ever compare myself to him, but I'm quite happy to do some regular stuff. And each individual show is completely individual. The worst thing, though, I was on Fakeologist, audio, fakeologist.com on Sunday night, and it was just, even though great people there, it's just, it's called... clusterfuck of voices is the best word to describe it. A clusterfuck of voices. Too many people trying to talk with great information. Jan Eric can actually talk more than I can, almost, which is an accomplishment. It's pretty amazing. Just me and him, great. But we had a few other people and calm, cold Ken asking questions, as usual. And it was a good show, though, but and some great information got spouted, to be told. So this is a conversation. This is Be Told, I think episode 11 or 12 or 13. I don't care. I'm not numerical when it comes to my own personal shows. I have no numerical interest in this, the amount of shows I've done. Interesting conversation I could have though tonight. And a couple of things. I had Melissa Watt contact me that someone on that's listening to Rick and Rollo, show of all shows, clearly mad, sent her a message and said, oh, you should be listening to this because he's saying that, you know, you're only 70% awake and da-da-da-da-da. And I just got huge, long missive, and I call it a missive because it's very feminine bent. And understandably so, because she's a pretty strong-willed woman, guaranteed. And someone sent her the stuff and said that I don't think they were saying I was running her down, but I had said I thought she was only 70% awake because she won't talk about the new hoax. And Ab probably said something that probably sparked her up as well. I'm very keen to find out who's the person that's sending these things in, and I will find out, guaranteed. It's very easy to do. Whether I did it with a malicious intent or as a bit of advice, we'll find out. But I'll find out. That's a almost guarantee. When you got the contacts that I've got, you can find out any single fucking thing you want, especially online. And that's why I keep telling people, watch out what you send online and watch out what you tap, because it's all has little stamps on it. And there are companies out there that will find those stamps and produce the name and address of that person. So in evil intent, forgivable. Malintent, we'll see what happens. Anyway, on this Rick and Rollo show on Tuesday night, it's not. It's the Be Told show. Thanks, and Medi, my goodness gracious, meditating is a habit. That stuff that you did for us on the Rick and Rollo Show, the opening title's fantastic. I'm really happy that Joel is out there. And he sent me a message, goes, this stuff's fantastic. This stuff's fantastic. And this is an audio freak, Joel, and he liked what you did meditating as a habit. So we're a good team. I'm just the creative director in the background, but you are the talent because I have no ability to fuck around with computers and sounds and stuff like that, guaranteed. Anyway, on this Be Told show, I'll talk about some an amazing ghost story, actually, because I was listening back to my last couple of ones in the last couple of weeks, and I thought I should, I've talked about tapu. And I will bring up also a very interesting, I'll talk about it now before I forget. Monty Python did I'm a Pythonist. If there's any religion that I belong to, it's the religion of Monty Python, because I was as a child, the Prisoner, Monty Python, Sesame Street, Mr. Magoo, the Bugs Bunny Show, et cetera, were my upbringing. So I've got a really strange amalgam of all those things in my entity, in my brain. And I just spotted there's a really funny sketch. It's called Archaeology Today Tonight. It's the opening sketch of one of the episodes of Monty Python with John Cleese in it. So it would have been one of the first four series, I guess, about, the whole joke is about the archaeologists battling together because, one's taller than the other one, and the host of the show is obsessed with tall people. But at the beginning of the show, it starts off with a Terry Gilliam cartoon, and I've already talked about Terry Gilliam as a very made man, a guy that went to the right, I think it was not Georgetown, but he was in the right university. Very interesting character, Terry Gilliam. He knows a lot of stuff. He is the esoteric man of Monty Python. But at the beginning of the show, it's one of his animations, is they find a toe, and it's clearly a toe. It's probably off a famous artwork that Gilliam just clipped. And then they've taken it into the British Royal Institute of International Affairs, the British Royal Museum. And they go, gentlemen, we've discovered an incredible thing. And you just see the toe and it pans back and they've made it to the elephant's trunk. They've added the toe into an elephant's trunk. And this is exactly what happened back in the day with that missing link thing that they found. It was a pig's trotter or whatever, and they made it into the missing link. And they got caught out. It was about 5 to 10 years, maybe, or 15 years, it was accepted that this was the missing link. It was a total scam, and the Royal Institute of, the British Royal Society had come up with this whole scam, just like the whole Darwin bullshit. Take it with a grain or an ounce of salt. It's all bullshit. But Gilliam's cartoon explained that straight away. Then it goes into this funny sketch, and when Cleese's character starts talking, he said his latest discovery, that he's discovered a Polynesian influence in the ancient Egyptian era of, whatever it was. Now, I have been going on about this, and if you listen to any of the Be Told shows, I've been saying the Maori, the Polynesians, look incredibly similar to the ancient Egyptians, and that's why they're in the special forces right now, disguised and doing undercover work in the Middle East. The Maori, guaranteed. They've got this very odd, coincidental look to the Middle Eastern tribes, but they're from the Polynesian tribes. In the sketch, they say they found it. Now, I'm suggesting that Monty Python is way more accurate than most of your historical books. And it's meant to be a parody and a sketch, but let me just tell you now, there's a there, a guaranteed. Mm. Now, the ghost story, this is a true story of years ago, I guess it would have been in the late 1990s, early 2000s, my father was renovating a house in the Sydney, And I went around and was giving him a hand one day, and he was saying, oh, you know, his next door neighbours, you know, he introduced me to the next door neighbours, a female. And as usual, I hate to say this, but I always know one, I'm always one degree of separation between someone extremely famous. And this chick was the next door neighbour, and she used to come out, you know, was obviously chatting away to my father, and she was a single mother living at home. She ended up about 3 years later hosting the Biggest Loser show and actually being involved with Oprah Winfrey. There you go. I kid you not. Vera Licious would know who I'm talking about. She was an Australian co-host of a show, was the Biggest Loser, and she actually was really big. She wasn't, when I met her, she didn't look anything as big as she was eventually. I forget her name, and it's not important, but what was important was this story that she was telling me, because we were having smoke or something or other, and she was saying, oh, my son, you know, that house we were renovating was owned by an old Greek lady, and the family is selling it now, and my father was renovating it, or, you know, patching it up to make it saleable. And she was telling me that her son, who was about 3 or 4 at the stage, he was always telling her about, he was talking to Sad, when she said, where have you been? She goes, oh, he goes, oh, I'm talking to Sad. And he's always like, he was had the kind of, he was always a bit upset. And she said, who's Sad? And she forgot about it. And then she mentioned to her her partner, has he mentioned Sad to you? And she goes, yeah, you know, he talks about her all the time. And then she found out that the house that we were renovating had an old Greek lady who'd come over from Greece in the 50s. Her husband had died early and her children had kind of abandoned her and hadn't come and visited. And she used to sit out the front of the house, always waiting for a visitor. I mean, incredibly sad story. But the little boy used to say, I'm talking to Sad, she's sad, you know, and that's who he described her as. And this chick, I forget her name, and it is a famous name if you, you know, like Vera Licious, some of the any Australian woman recognises. She became a reality star in a few, maybe 5 years later. But this little boy could see the energy that this lady had left and used to go and talk to her. And there was no jokes involved. I mean, when we were talking about it, and of course, me obviously being very much into this kind of unknown stuff, I completely believed her story. And I was just not baffled, but just fascinated. And she was saying that he would just sit there and chat away, and she thought he was talking to himself, but he was actually conversing to this, you're listening to Be Told.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
The art of conversation. That was Joel singing there. I kid you not. I'm absolutely positive that's actually Joel singing, and that's probably Sarah playing the piano in the background. That's my guess. That's my guess. Anyway, you're listening to Rick and a Be Told, episode, I'm going to guess, 13. That's my guess. On Tuesday, the 26th of November, 2024, and about a month to go to Christmas. Less a month to go to Christmas. How exciting for those little children out there, because that's the best time of your life, is waiting for Santa Claus to come, Satan Claus, rather. Santa, anagram of Satan, Claus. There's a real bad combination of words there that you were conditioned to enjoy. Someone called Satan Claus coming down your chimney to sneak around your bedroom at night. Warning. Anyway, I'm talking about the ghost story. So Sad, the little boy, was definitely without, there was no, you know, we're talking eye to eye, face to face. You know, she had no reason to make up this obscure story or whatever. And I met him, he was, I think at that stage I was child free. I think. But she ended up becoming involved with Oprah Winfrey at one stage, you know, doing some biggest, there was something, I forget her name. She wanted a lot of fame towards the end, but this offhanded story really is one of those ones that I do believe I've heard more of them, and I can actually talk about more of those kind of stories. There is an energy left. If you're extremely depressed and miserable and you're sitting at home, you know, and you die waiting for this thing, I do believe your soul could leave an imprint. And I'm saying it does. I'm saying it does. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. I've been listening to, in the middle of the night, actually, I can listen to IPS all night until he starts going on about chemtrails and using the word cowards, that conspiracy theories might be cowards. Where is he getting this from? And why is he trying to annoy people? And why has he got so many baffled people that think that they're actually awake on his platform? Because a lot of them, I would say 60% awake. Not 70% as I accused. No, I said 75% for Melissa. The reason I said it is because if you have not got it in your head that 9/11 was a complete stage show, movie production, and you haven't got it in your head that nuclear bombs have never, ever existed, and they came from H.G. Wells, the poisoning the wells, mercury poisoning wells. They give the names and the code, just like what's the name, Madame Curie, M. Curie, Mercury, the whole story about her supposed incredible invention, and her husband gets run over by a train or a stagecoach or whatever afterwards. I have to say this, the Fakeologist Network, Hoaxbusters show, etc., have got some of the best stuff on there and some of the worst. And that's the, there's no such thing as white whales, sharks don't attack you, the elites are great guys just having a joke, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, really bad stuff out there. But some of the best stuff, and Abs knocked some of the stuff out of the park with his all shots clot stuff. So 10 out of 10. 12 out of 10, Ab. 12 out of 10. So there's definitely ghosts. Sorry, I don't say ghosts, but there's an energy left. And people. So if you're sensitive, and there are sensitive people out there that can pick up on the vibration of some energy that was there, and this little kid was calling, all he could say was sad because of her face. And when I spoke to, a neighbor, and he said, yeah, Mrs. Old Greek lady, she was just, you know, standing at the front, always waiting to get a visitor. What a horrible story and what a horrible life. Again, you are the key to your life. If you're going to, like, she could have sold the house and gone traveling around on a cruise or something or other and met some guy somewhere else. No. She chose to be a family strong person and just to sit there waiting for her own family. Fuck them. If you think that your family is going to come out and look after you in certain circumstances, most of the time, yes. Majority of the time, I'm not so sure. I had a great conversation last night with an old friend from back in the day, great old friend. I hadn't spoken to him for years. And I said, how's your mother and father? He said, I don't talk to them. How's your sister? I don't talk to them. How's your, you know, I don't talk to them. You know, they can get fucked. And I understand where he's coming from there because he's, you know, probably got a few reasons for that. But you don't. It's incredible how you can have a falling out over, as you get older, I think it's easier to do. You just think, you know, why would they do that? I wouldn't do that to somebody, but why would they be like this or like A or B or C? People do get like that. Women particularly, I'm going to say this again, what's the word for it when you start always having a go at women? Because I have been lately, having a go at women, but I don't mean all women. I mean a certain group they tend to go mad over 50. So over 40, And I had a terrific old friend who's now been just, I just found out, sadly, she's just been institutionalized. She's about 80. A beautiful, huge mansion of a house with a swimming pool on the inside is getting sold, and she's in a, she's got dementia. But she said to me, I used to have great conversations with this woman. She said to me, all my friends that had dietary issues that were anorexics, for instance, this is her logic. This is what I like. I like to hear people saying a statement with their own experience. And in her experience, any female that she knew that had a dietary issue growing up, whether they starved themselves to get thin or, you know, ate stupid things, they all went mad. All went mad. And that's, I like that sweeping statement because I suggest that's a fact. That if you didn't eat right when you were, particularly females, because you need so many nutritional things, you know, you've got a very complex body. Let's just say that. And if you're not eating meat, not eating, regularly, and you're starving yourself, you're going to go mad at about, I reckon about 45. Worse at 50, and forget about them at 60. They're gone. Look, she was female. She was not, what's that word again that I can't remember? I was going to say ostentatious, but she was ostentatious. But she just told the truth. I like people that tell the truth, that tell you what they think. I can't stand people that you find out they've said something behind your back, or like this person that sent this email to, what's her name? Melissa Watt. Did they do it with good intent, or they're doing it to say, oh my God, he's saying you've only got 70%, you're 70% awake. Now I said that and I was completely being honest. I have honest conversations. That's why I like Rollo. He cannot lie. He just has to, but unfortunately it comes out wrong a lot of the time, but he always says exactly what he thinks. I like that. I don't want to hear someone go, No. I want to hear the facts. Give me the fucking facts. That's what I want to hear. And I, this woman, she explained feminine, what happens to a lot of women. They go through menopause. And if they hadn't been eating meat and they've been starving themselves, they have mental issues. Guaranteed. And I'm telling you now, I've definitely just spot that 100%. Yet I've got aunties in their 80s in fantastic form, mentally, physically, whatever, because they ate eggs and bread and white meat, bread, no problem whatsoever, cakes and butter and probably fish and meat. No, there was no vegans in the family. Watch out for the long, I'm not just saying just vegans. I mean, ones that anorexics particular. If you had that problem, you starved yourself of fat, your brain is going to be shriveled up by the time you're 40, be told. Men and male and female. Male and female. I like honesty and I like people that say the truth. And I do believe that's a there's a big there. And we just did a fantastic, breakdown of the prisoner on Sunday, Dave, absolutely knocked me out of the park. I did a little tiny bit. I was there and I said little interesting things, but really good show, really a good show. I'm just going to mute for a little bit, then I'm going to come back and talk about whatever I want to talk about. I could talk about Alan Watt because he was my favourite podcaster. So I'm going to mute and then come back and talk about Alan Watt. Maybe a toll. Yes, back again. You didn't know that, though. This is thanks to the VeloBop, or whatever he calls himself now, the VeloBop thing that stops me. I can press pause and go and do whatever I want to do. I can climb on the roof and signal the Martians if I wanted to. I didn't, but I could. Anyway, Alan Watt. So how I got introduced to Alan Watt was by one of my good friends, back in the day. Oh, still a great friends. We contact each other pretty much every week and every day. So every couple of days, text, message each other, even though he went and got vaccinated and he took two. Unbelievable. I could not believe it. And he was trying to tell me that we've got to do it. We've got to do it because, you know, what are we going to do? We might as well die with our friends. And I was going, what the fuck are you on about? I said, I'm going to come around with a wheelbarrow. Just tell me where your money is and I'll take you down and bury you down the park. That's what I said to him. That's the kind of friends I have. And did he get upset? No. Anyway, one day he was saying, look, you should be listening to Alan Watt. And I said, what do you mean? What do you mean? Pardon the pun. And he said, oh, it's really interesting stuff. So this is when iPhones had just, I just got myself an iPhone. 2008 or 2009, whenever it was. And he sent me a Cutting Through the Matrix and I played it and I loved, as soon as I heard that Scottish tone, because the guy that woke me up, Scotsman, my friend's father across the road, who was, you know, eventually went round and told the entire street that the Jews were the problem of the world and no one wanted to talk to him anymore. But he used to always talk about to all the other people as well. So he was, you know, me and my friends used to sit there and listen to these amazing tales. Anyway, Alan Watt sounded to me like him. So I straight away thought, oh, I like that voice. And then I listened to one show, two shows, three shows. And at that stage, I just bought a house and I was painting it. And I did every single show twice over the period of painting the inside and the outside of my house. I established my base, and that's the Royal Institute of International Affairs and the CFR, Australian CFR, English CFR, which is the Royal Institute of International Affairs, and the American CFR, the Council of Foreign Relations. All had the same beliefs, all da-da-da-da. He also brought up all these, you know, other books, et cetera, et cetera. And I was absolutely, I was binge listening to everything he did, and not only once, maybe twice. Plus, this is the good thing about Alan Watt, he had a great ear for music and comedy. So he was a Pythonist as well. And he used to play great, his music that he had was always good on the show. So I listened to every single thing he did. And it was a great base. No, he doesn't talk about the nuclear bombs being a fake and he doesn't say that no one died in 9/11. But anyone that does say that is cast down into the wildest depths of conspiracy theory because most people don't want to hear that stuff. Even the Holocaust, they don't want to hear that stuff. So you're risking your credibility just bringing the stuff up. I probably don't think I'll end up going on Melissa's show because I don't think it's going to do her any favours to be woken up. You're better off just staying 75 to 80% awake and worrying about nuclear bombs and having someone coming in and saying, well, actually, no one actually died. They firebombed Hiroshima. They firebombed Nagasaki. There were definitely people getting burnt and killed on Nagasaki and Hiroshima, I would say, hazard a guess. You cannot drop that amount of incendiaries without killing people. It just doesn't happen. So I'll argue. So this is the problem. Fakeology, there'll be someone going, nobody died, nobody got hurt, and et cetera, et cetera. Well, prove that to me. Prove that to me. This is the problem. We're going onto these platforms, and no one agrees. Everyone cut down the middle and split down the middle, and it's just an absolute fucking nightmare. This is why I love the fact that Joel set this up, and I can talk to myself as I want and make aspersions or, you know, I don't know any more than, actually, that's a stupid thing to say. I do know a lot more than a lot of people, but I am very, very wary about making outrageous claims. It's like saying nobody died. If they did firebomb Hiroshima and Nagasaki, I will guarantee there were burn victims all over the place. I guarantee it. You cannot have that amount of incendiary. I was on the Matrix, right, for that one fucking scene. There's the helicopter going into a building that you saw at the after the fight on the roof. I had to stand around for 2 days on a back road at the back of the Sydney Fire Training Institute in Penrith and tell cars, we're getting, you know, this there's going to be an explosion soon. Stop traffic for a kilometre or 2 kilometres in a circle around that base. That was just one small explosive going into inside a helicopter, which smashes into the building. You'll see it and it blows up. And they were concerned that it was going to shatter the car's windows for a kilometre around. That's what explosives can do. If you think you can drop one bomb with the full of napalm or, you know, TNT and not kill people accidentally, good fucking luck. Your credibility is zero at the moment with me. Zero. You have no credibility. Explosives are incredibly dangerous. They are. It's a fact. And it's not the explosion, it's the actual shrapnel from that explosion. But these people were so concerned that they shut down traffic for 2 kilometres, a 2 kilometre vicinity, maybe more, I can't remember, in a circle around this, where the helicopter, model of the helicopter, which is about, it was probably about a metre long chopper model, and it went into a building that was about probably 20 metres tall, all made of glass, and it blew up, and you saw it in the movie, The Matrix. To me, it was 2 to 3 days of the most boring fucking job I have ever done. So I never watched that movie. I get bad memories of standing around drinking bottled water on a back road somewhere, literally. But anyway, therefore, this is the problem. You've got all these, say, fake holders, audio, fakeholders.com, fakeholdersradio, fakeholders.com. You've got, say you got 50 people on there. 20 of them agree with each other. The rest don't. And then you get these, what I call trolls that come in there and we'll just bring and introduce something stupid like, you know, there's no such thing as a white whale. Oops, sorry for making that squeaking noise. The whales are fake. Dinosaurs. Actually, I'm 100% with the dinosaur one. I'll be fucking told. There never was a dinosaur. Dragons. You're listening to Rick talking himself on Be Told, 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 Told.
No matter what your age.
You're listening to another conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
For that wonderful introduction, and Joel for singing in the background and playing the timpani and or whatever the instruments you were playing. You're listening to Rick on talking to himself on interesting subjects on the 26th of November. So we've literally got 4 weeks to go before Satan, comes down your chimney and drops your little Bill Cooper cassettes or whatever you got back in the day. Now, I'll keep talking about the Matrix and explosives. These, even blanks, right? Blanks. The safety level on a film is through the roof. You've got no idea how you've got armourers that come in, that have to handle a certain amount of guns. You've got, especially after what happened to the director of Dark City, which I was Greek-Australian, God, that movie. I worked on a commercial he did just before he did that movie. Out there guy, man. Out there guy. They, you know, allegedly, Bruce Lee's son Brandon got shrapnel into the heart. Wasn't a live round, but it was a shrapnel from a blank into his heart on the movie The Crow, which looks suspiciously like, to me, the movie The Joker. Very similar makeup. I haven't watched The Crow. You know why I haven't watched The Crow? Because I sat around on that movie, that advertising thing, and that bored out of my brain, and Dark City, bored out of my brain. Before, there was no such thing as smartphones, so you could, or there might have been, was there computers? I never had one. So occasionally you'd be reading magazines, Nexus, New Dawn, etc. But most of the time you were doing 12-hour, 15-hour shifts and you were bored out of your brain. So my working days were I have memories of it. And so a movie to me could just put me straight back into this PTSD, which I was talking about the other night, which is a real thing. I talked about my son last Monday night, splitting his head open, fainting in the bath, landing on a metal shower towel rack. And I went straight back into the worst depths of PTSD after being in hospital at the NICU for 100 days or whatever it was. Horrible, horrible times. And I got the same, I was exactly back there. I was just a mess. I not staggering around weeping or anything, but I was just a nervous wreck while he was in the casualty ward. He's fine now, all good. But it just shows you how fast your life can change. A simple slip or faint, you could land on the side of your head and have a brain injury for the rest of your life. So life is extremely precious. Look after yourselves. Look after yourselves. Yeah, so explosives are dangerous. Blanks are dangerous. Just a gun on a normal film when you've got an action scene, you've got 2 to 3 armourers on set. You've got safety officers. It just doesn't happen like that movie, you know, what's his name, allegedly killed someone, the one that's always imitating Trump. Alex Baldwin. I found that whole story to be totally implausible. Having spent time, especially after the Crow, when he was doing Dark City, there were no guns allowed on set. They developed a kind of a gun that flashed, had like a flash, and they edited in the sound afterwards because he had refused to have guns on the set. So if he was that frightened of that, maybe Brandon Lee really did get shot by a blank. Have anyone spotted him apart from that newsreader? Apparently, I think on IPS here that Brandon Lee's playing some other new role. I don't know about that one. I do not know about that one, because why would they spend as much money and be so panicky about having guns on sets on the Dark City if something bad didn't happen on the Crow? Answer me that. I've got no idea, but it could have happened. I don't know the Crow movie. I never watched it, no interest in it. Brandon didn't look that much like his father. I guess he did a bit. But there's a whole big thing, and I've spoken about it before. I think SMJ was the guy that kind of sparked my interest in the subject, Sean from Texas. And he brought up the fact that Bruce Lee, you know, if you look at his birth date, you know, it was all 9/11s. What I kind of went in with more that I worked out that the whole martial arts thing, which I was kind of a part of, but I was growing up in 74, 75 when the Big Boss entered the Dragon, which is what we were doing, entering the Dragon in 75, was introducing Asian culture into the West. And all of a sudden Doge coins. Notice this Doge is back again. Doge coins and Doge O's. And O's 15, that's number 6, guaranteed. Dojo, 100%. Dojos, the martial arts things. They were all over the place. And yet, when you did your martial arts courses, you had to count in Chinese, you know, and do your stance, you know, balance, et cetera, et cetera. All of a sudden, there was this giant Asian art all over the place, and there was dragons everywhere, and most martial art, karate and everything, they had a dragon logo on the thing. Bruce Lee was the man behind the whole thing, and he played originally in the Green Hornet. He was the offsider of the Green Hornet back in 65, 66. He became a much bigger influence, though, in the 70s. Big Boss, Way of the Dragon, End of the Dragon. The very last one I saw was the one that he died on just before, allegedly. I'm saying this allegedly. And he was fighting Chuck Norris. And he kills Chuck Norris. Bruce Lee kills Chuck Norris. I do believe in that movie. So therefore, all those memes you've seen about Chuck Norris doing his amazing things, he didn't handle. Bruce Lee kills him in that movie. I think. And I haven't seen it since 1974. So pardon me if I've made a mistake. This is talking off the top of my head here with all honesty. And so if someone's going to send anything into Melissa Watt, just send me a CC it to me so I can say, is he he or she. Very she-like, though. Why would you? Not many men would do that, but a woman would.
He's talking about you. Guess what he said about you?
Someone did it. And I don't care because I don't say anything that I'm not expecting the real person to say to listen to. I don't care. I have no care. No care. No fucks given. But I was only being genuine talking about Melissa and me wanting to talk about nuclear bombs because I think if you don't get the nuclear bomb thing, he says, filling a glass with some water and nothing else, nothing else. You're not going to wake up. You need to understand that there has never been a nuclear bomb ever. What they've done is they filmed at Lookout Mountain up in, not far from, weird scenes under the canyon, Laurel Canyon. Maybe it's in or above Laurel Canyon. I believe so. Bought by the most suspicious, what's that actor's name? And he keeps looking younger and younger. And he was on the paper here. And he bought Lookout Mountain. He played the Joker in a really forgettable Joker version. American actor. Shall I Google his name just to get it right for you listeners out there? I might do that. What was his name? Duck, duck, go. Does it work? Who's to know? I should be able to remember this at the top of my head. You'd think so. Joker actors. Actors. Joker actors list. Here we go. I know there's going to be so many. There are Heath Ledger. Oh, Jared Leto. Okay, Jared Leto. Now, there's a name with Leto and Jared. There's a code there in the name. He bought Lookout Mountain. He also appeared when he turned 50, which was about 3 years ago, on the front page of the Daily Telegraph in the winter is Sydney. And he was eating a rainbow-coloured cake, but he had red, like a red liquid, like it meant to supposedly strawberry, dripping down the side of his mouth. And I went, this is a vampire logo. He's kind of saying why you look so young. Jared Leto was promoting this kind of vampire Satanism thing on the front page of the Daily Telegraph. Why would they put that on the front page of the Daily Telegraph? They did. There's a there. But all that shot, all the footage you saw of those supposed atomic bombs and nuclear bombs were either sunrises, slowed down, sped up. They were actual dynamite going off, and there's a whole footage of this incredible desert military thing. This pack, there are just, how would you describe it? Giant pallets of gelignite set up, and they blew it up and they filmed it, slowed it down. Because that's why, again, nuclear bombs and rocket ships, when you see those rockets going up into space, a real rocket, have you ever been rocketeering, which I have, with the rockets that are about, that go above the flight path of passenger jets, which my friend flies, they go up like a bullet. There's no rumbling sound and it just goes up slowly. No. It goes vroom, like that, vroom, like a rat up a drain pipe. Quote Monty Python. So all the footage you saw of nuclear bombs is slow explosion. And look at a real explosion. If you, and I have, spent a lot of time with fireworks. You make your own fireworks, you blow things up. There's no such thing as a slow rumbling explosion. It goes bang very quickly. So how come these nuclear bombs, you just saw the slow rumbling and this slow cloud going up? No. You were being fooled. With this, what we were talking about with Calm Cold Ken the other night, everything you saw in movies about guns and trajectories and calibers and wanton behavior with gun, very dangerous thing, guns. And I've spent a lot of time shooting, a lot of time. These are not things you fuck around with. Right? You don't fire them through glass. You don't fire them from a car door like you see in Hollywood. These things would, a bullet can go in all sorts of different trajectories. Often snipers, you know, for the special force, the special weapons and operations groups and, over here, they won't shoot a guy through a window because they know it could actually go hit the window. It's like hitting water. It just goes in a different direction. So there's bullets. We've been given this bullshit view of ballistics, Hollywood version, the Hollywood version of ballistics. Never believe anything you saw in a Hollywood movie. And you're watching a rocket go up. It does not rumble from the distance and go up slowly. It goes boom into the sky. So all the footage we've seen of rockets going up, unless they've been slowed down, are fake. Vitold. He says having a puff on a organic cigarette. Joke, but they are kind of organic. One puff. 100%. So everything that we've been seeing and our whole view of weapons and rockets and explosions have been Hollywoodized, if that's the word, Hollywoodized. So you're seeing these slow rumbling things. And the footage Jesse War did on, oh, shit, I spilled some more, on the excellent production he did, Nukes Are Fake. Is it Nuke Lies? Nuke Lies, NukeLies. If it's still on there, watch it. He actually got it all right. Someone suggested he's dead now, and I'm suggesting he's not because his artworks were the same price as they were 2 years ago. If an artist dies, the artwork go up in price. That's just a, I'm just telling you some truth there. So Jesse War could still be out there. Rollo was on an interview with him and upset him, I do believe. He was on Fakeologist Radio, fakeologist.com, being interviewed, and some reason Rollo got on there. Never a good thing unless his handler, and that's me, is on there to say, shut the fuck up and let him talk. Because he just comes over and he started, I don't know why, he got Jesse War, it's W-A-U-G-H, upset. But Nuke Lies is really good. There's plenty of other stuff on there. Chris Kendall did some really good work on it. I sent him some stuff that I found in the book. Walking into his library. What's it called? By Barry Smith. Another one of his planned deception. It was called Warning, Barry R. Smith. He had Next Warning, Another Warning, We're Doomed Again, etc. It was a whole series of books. He was a Christian evangelist that went around talking about the end of the days back in the day. New Zealander. We all knew who he was. I didn't see, my brother did, and he was sort of chuckles away. Oh, can you hear? The kookaburra. Yeah, Nuke Lies. Anyway, so what I found in Barry Smith's book, that he got in contact with Captain Bruce Cathy, who wrote Harmonic 33, amongst other books, Pulse of the Universe. I think it's in the Pulse of the Universe, and I've got it right here in front of me, next to Warning by Barry R. Smith. And so apparently, what's his name? Bruce Cathy, Captain Bruce Cathy, UFO researcher, etc., come up with the world grid pattern. Very interesting stuff that he discovered. There's this giant grid pattern, and that a lot of these supposed flying saucers or strange things that we're seeing, we're all following a grid pattern. It's some kind of electromagnetic thing. And he said he'd noticed that whenever they had a nuclear test on Mururoa or in Australia, in the desert, they always did it at a certain exact time and a certain exact location. He said that, he plotted it, and he discovered that the next one will be on this thing, this date. And he got contacted by the NSIS, New Zealand Intelligence Services, and they said, how did you know that? And this is according to the book. And so they worked out that, according to the logic of the thing, that you could only ignite or do these kind of weird tests on a certain day while the sunspots were in a certain pattern. And there was a whole complex alchemical thing to allegedly let one of these things go bang. So there was, he said, therefore, there will never be a nuclear war because they do not ignite when we want them to ignite. Now, whether that wasn't deflection, but he certainly picked up a mathematical algorithm there, and they do this stuff with us, with this, they follow the patterns of the astronomical patterns to do these things, be it news events, big events. They always know when we're more susceptible to bullshit, and they do these events on these days. Guaranteed. No arguments entered into. And I've got lots and lots and lots of books. And one in particular is about Lilith. And another one was Investing Through Stars in the Stock Market. The book was nothing to do with the conspiracy site. It was to do with real high-level investing. So therefore, I think there's a there. Guaranteed. And so Bruce Cathy and... So I sent that stuff to Chris Kendall, and he said, thank you very much, man. Hey. Said it was fantastic. But he also found a book by a ex-naval guy who said that the whole thing was firebombed, and that the locals on Hiroshima and Nagasaki were forbidden under pain of jailing to talk about that day. They were only allowed to say, they couldn't even talk about it for many years after that bomb. So obviously firebombing was a thing. They napalmed it, and that's why there's so many wooden structures still standing, because fire doesn't exactly destroy hardwoods. It just burns the outer area of them and then goes out. So old hardwood buildings were still standing. If there had been a mythical explosive that blew a whole country to pieces, nothing would be left standing. Nothing would be left standing. So there's a big there. And that's where I'm getting at. So if anyone's prepared not to believe that, and they're going to believe that we're in the threat of Russia having some kind of Polaris rocket, or what's the latest one, you know, begins some kind of old, you're listening to Be Told.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to another conversation,
or your preoccupation,
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
A wonderful voice. You're listening to Rick on the Be Told episode, I'd say 13. It could be 14. I'd say 13, though. I hazard a guess. We'll call it 13. Let's just say that. And we're talking about nuke bombs, atomic bombs. Now, so the whole thing started with H.G. Wells, this bomb to end all bombs that would stop all wars, et cetera, et cetera, written back in the early or late 1800s. He also predicted, you know, UFOs and Martian attacks and stuff like that. There was so much stuff. Whether, like Alan Watts suggested, it wasn't him coming up with it. He was just the front man, like the Stephen King back in the day. I've got a book on this guy, H.G. Wells, and there is nobody that he's not standing next to. That guy was fucking incredibly influential. Incredible story of H.G. Wells. Be told. Also look into, I'll give you some advice here, Lyle Watson's Life Tide and Beyond Supernature and Supernature by Lyle Watson. Huge books in the 70s. Well worth reading. I think they kind of show a lot of the patterns of this and the patterns of that. But the most amazing I picked up in the secondhand store or Papyrus Bookshop back in the day by a guy called Lawrence Blair. He wrote this book called Rhythms of Vision. Now, anyone out there, now, who would I think that would know what would be interested in this? What's his name from Portugal? Armand Rhee. Look up Lawrence Blair, Rhythms of Vision, and read that book. And it's got a foreword by Lowell Watson, who wrote Supernature. He was a Mexican guy, researcher, who just does, this book is just, it really woke me up to a lot of stuff. It's got patterns and incredible stuff. Really interesting book. I'll say it again. Rhythms of Vision by Lawrence Blair, forward by Lowell Watson, circa 72, 73, 74. Really interesting book. You must. He looks like Donny Osmond, actually. He's got the same teeth. Back in the day. A brilliant mystical book threatens to overturn the ordered view of the world. It argues with romantic vein of the co-culture that we are poised on the brink of a major revolution of thought and of the kind which shattered the medieval geocentric cosmology. The ground of meaning now being dissolved in the dominant cultural assumption that the objective world of tangible, measurable fact is the ultimate truth. Evidence is drawn from many different branches of knowledge to show how a single-minded pursuit of objective scientific truth is already forcing man back into himself. Also, Silas Speaks. I'll say it again. Rhythms of Vision by Lawrence Blair. If you're listening, I'll send a photo of that book for you to have a look at. This book, when I picked it up back in 90-something or other from Papyrus, beautiful little bookshop in where I'm from, and the winner is New Zealand. Really interesting book. And I'm into this. So I've got a real books here. But I actually went to see Eric von Daniken in Search of Ancient Gods. And that would have been in the 70s. My mother took me. She knew. She was good. My mother was into this stuff. She was the way that I got into this whole stuff. Guaranteed. She was the one going on about sprays going over the top of her heads, and they were doing top dressing. I'll talk about that actually again. Anyone, I'm going to say this now, and I'm going to be perfectly clear. If anyone tells you there's nothing going on over your head, they are fuckwits or they are agents. That's it. These people are not to be trusted. And as soon as they say, it's this and that, tell them to fuck off and get them out of your life. Don't have anything to do with them anymore. Oh, I have to forgive Ab. I think it's his shtick over there. And he has got a platform that I've been utilizing for some time. So we'll forgive you, Ab. You're forgiven. The rest of them, no. No. These things are going on over my head. And only on certain days. And yesterday, get this one. Oh, no, sorry, it was Sunday. Now, Sunday, much less planes going up and down the coast. At midday, I looked up and all of a sudden I went, oh, for fuck's sake. Three planes doing lines up and down. And next thing you know, within 3 hours, our skies went white, completely white. There were beautiful blue skies at the beach, swimming around, wonderful days. All of a sudden, the skies went white after a huge amount of planes just did incredible stuff. But it didn't happen in the morning. It didn't happen in the night. It happened from about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, the real busy area, commercial aircraft, would have been from the early morning. That afternoon, no, they don't often fly that. Yeah. I'm living in an area, very low population compared to people overseas. So anyone that's telling you that there's no such thing as, look, I can't explain what they're doing, but some of it I think I can. I definitely think they're spraying stuff on certain days to make the fires get bigger. And you've noticed there's bushfires in New York. There are horrific fires going on all over the place. This is the result of that topographic spraying of sparkler mix going on over your heads. So, yeah, New York's had horrific fires. And I think it's winter there. Would I be right? We'll be getting close. Anyway, so I went to see Eric von Daniken, who got caught out bullshitting, taking photos and making them look bigger and from a different angle. A lot of interesting stuff in there, though. There's some really interesting stuff in his book, but he was the guy that was a made-to-be guy that was coming out there confusing you back in the day, confusing you. And as a child, I thought it was fascinating because I was, you know, UFOs, ancient gods, blah, 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 blah. But in the end, he was a con man, guaranteed. Guaranteed. And this is the problem. This is what we've got to face while we're on our different sites out there and we're having conversations with people and we're suddenly discovering we're in common with some people and not in common with other people. But I just go with people's voices. And if they have that nice, relaxed voice, fantastic. They may not be saying the right things that I agree with, but if they've got a nice, relaxed voice, fantastic. If they've got a nervous voice, not so trustworthy. Not so trustworthy. That's my opinion. Now I'm going to mute for a little bit, and if I can think of anything else, otherwise, shortly. Guaranteed. Oh, I hope I've been recorded. Where am I? Let's have a look here. And I got a whole lot of people. Yeah, I'm still there. There I am. I'm still green. Fantastic. Boom. Actually, before I go, we're talking about ghosts earlier and the amazing story I was telling you about SAD. I can remember watching the Waltons in 75, 76, 10, 11 years of age, 12 years of age, and there was an episode. It was called The Haunting or The Ghost Story. And you think, oh, no, it's one of those funny shows, you know, not funny show, but it was the Waltons and, you know, good night, Mary Ellen. Good night, John Boy. But Will Gear and his wife, I think she died while they were filming it, it was a story about a haunting on this episode. And it was psychologically, absolutely, because I've got a good imagination. I can remember these things. It was really scary. And it was basically the gist of it. At the end of the story was Will Gear, the old guy, was telling his wife, about their friend, you know, that had died, and he'd said he'd send her a message, his wife a message or something or other. There was another story going on at the same time, but he finished it up with saying that he found a violet sitting on her bed. When she looked in her bed, there was a violet sitting there, and she said, "What about it?" And he goes, "It was the middle of winter, darling." And so this violet was sitting there, and it just. The way that they did it, and plus they had this, I think Opie might have been on it, Ron Howard might have been one of his episodes that he was starring in it back in the day. But I was just, you know, chilled down to the bone with the combination of that story about finding a violet and it was the middle of winter. It was obviously left by the ghost. And then they edited in something else about they thought they saw something. I forget the story, but it was, I tell you now, just because you're watching a kid's show doesn't mean you're going to be not terrified. Be told. Anyway, now I think I wound it up, actually. I think I wound it up. I talk too much, and I've already done a whole lot of shows during the week. I've done Dave J, two Fakeologists, and Rick and Rollo, which is a really good show. Me and Rollo just talking to ourselves, and no one can get a word in, even ourselves, guaranteed. And thanks to Meditating as a Habit for putting that wonderful theme on. I think we'll wind it up now, and I'll send a song to Joelle to wind the song up. I think we'll play Nazareth, Child of the Sun, which is a really nice song for people that like sitting in the sunshine. Great song from the 70s. Nazareth, one of my favourites, I be you told. And it'll probably start when I say 1, 2, 3... Now,
I am just a child in the sun, just another soul on the run, one more of your unwanted sons. Tell me, where can